I do appreciate these kind words spoken by our brother Gilbert. And I must confess that I feel highly complimented in that the invitation has come to be back next year, Lord willing. That is a real compliment indeed, and we'll be praying very definitely about that. Thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for letting me practice on you for the week. And do remember us in prayer there in Greensboro, and we will do the same for you. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Zephaniah, chapter 3. And verse 17, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I said on Sunday that I had heard from several sources that this was a singing meeting, and I have found that out from my own experience. And we have cause to sing, because the Bible tells us that our God is a singing God, and we see this throughout the Word of God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. We go to the book of Exodus, and we find the children of Israel singing on the far side, the free side of the Red Sea. And they sang because they were free. When we go to Psalm 40, we find this one who was taken up out of that pit, out of the miry clay, is singing because he's on a solid foundation. And when we go to 2 Chronicles and read about that revival under good King Hezekiah, we find that the people of his day were singing because they were accepted. And we go right on through the Word of God, and we find much singing as we turn the pages. When we come to the book of Revelation, we find all the redeemed gathered home around the person of Christ, and there all the redeemed ones are singing his praises. They are singing the new song. You might ask, well, what was the old song? The old song we read of in the book of Job, where we read the morning stars sang together. That was at creation. And we think of the glorious music that came forth when God spoke the world into existence. The morning stars sang together. That was the old song. And it wasn't long before that song was thrown into the minor key because of sin. Ah, but in the book of the Revelation, all the redeemed are gathered around the Redeemer and singing the new song of redemption. And so throughout the Word of God, we see that our Lord is a singing God. He will joy over thee with singing. My own heart has been blessed this week as I have thought about that leper being cleansed by the touch and the spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ. and going to that priest and requesting that he be pronounced clean, and then thinking of that priest, turning to Leviticus chapter 14, perhaps a portion of scripture that he had not read in years and perhaps had never read and considered in his lifetime, because there was not a leper who was cleansed among the Jews. But my own heart has been blessed as I thought about that leper, watching that priest take those two birds that picture to us the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and take the one living bird and put that bird to death in an earthen vessel over running water, which, as we suggested last night, pictures to us the Lord Jesus Christ taking upon himself an earthen vessel, a body, that in that earthen vessel he might taste death for every man. And he did so in and through the power of the eternal Spirit of God. And thinking of that leper, or the one who had been a leper, watching that priest go through this ritual of putting that one bird to death in that earthen vessel over running water, and then taking the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, along with the living bird, and dipping them into the blood of the dead bird, and sprinkling the blood of that dead bird upon that one who had been a leper, and then setting that living bird loose in an open field. My, the thrill that that man must have had in his heart. My, how he must have leaped for joy as he saw that living bird rise upward with the blood of the dead bird upon its feathers. And to realize that he had been pronounced clean by the priest and by the authority of the Word of God, and that he need not fear what any accusers might say. He had been pronounced clean by the Word of God. There must have been singing in his heart in knowing that he was no longer at a distance. He could now draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, knowing that he was accepted and knowing that he was no longer a leper. And oh, the joy that's in our own hearts, oh, the singing that's in our own being, to know that we are accepted in the Beloved, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The priest could have let 1,000 birds loose that day, and that man would not have been clean apart from the dead bird. That priest could have let 10,000 birds loose, but that man would not have been pronounced clean on the authority of the Word of God had it not been for that one dead bird whose blood was sprinkled upon him. And it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that reconciles us to God, that gives us a perfect standing before God, so that we are accepted as God's dear Son himself. That's reason for singing, isn't it? And so throughout the Word of God, we find that our God is a singing God. He will joy over thee with singing. It was at incarnation that God sang to us. We read in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. This celestial choir was hymning God's good news of salvation. Deity, at last, was enshrined in a tabernacle of clay. Deity, at last, had come down and taken upon himself an earthen vessel, that in that earthen vessel he might be put to death. Redemption has come for the people of the world. And in incarnation, God was singing to us. Now it is true, the verse says, that this heavenly host was saying, oftentimes we read that singing. It is true, the verse says, the heavenly host was saying glory to God in the highest. Well, I cannot read that portion of Scripture without thinking that there was a glorious melody that night. Glory to God in the highest. What a song that was that night as the good news was announced to men. This song is one of saviorhood. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this blessed one came to seek and to save the lost. This one came to give himself in death for sinners. He came to give his life a ransom for many. It was not only a song of saviorhood, it was a song of sovereignty. Who is Christ the Lord? The song that night was of the sovereign lordship of this one who had come down. He was the sovereign Lord before all history. At the beginning of history, he is the Lord at the end of all history and throughout all history. And it was at incarnation that God sang to us. But we think too that it was in regeneration that God sang in us. Would you turn please to Psalm 40? And I make no apologies for having you turn to a number of scriptures tonight. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the living God comes into our life. Amazing that these bodies of ours become the temple of the living God. But when we receive him, when we trust him as Lord and Savior, he comes into our life. And that is regeneration. And it is in regeneration that God sings in us. And we who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can say, I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. And this song of redemption that we have in our hearts, this song that we rejoice to sing even now, is a song that enshrines a person. This song that we sing is all about him. This song that we have in our hearts expresses a possession. And this song exalts in a prospect. We have been purchased with an infinite price. We are God's purchased possession. It's wonderful to know that we are kept by the power of God. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. He said, I will pray the Father that he will send the Holy Spirit. And later he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will give you another comforter. And he will not only be with you, but he shall be in you. Now that word comforter is the same word, advocate, in 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And oh, what a blessed thought that is. God has sent down to us this Comforter, this Advocate, who dwells within us, the Holy Spirit of God, who looks after God's interest below. And our blessed Advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there in the presence of God looking after our interests above. You talk about security. Well, you couldn't ask for anything better than that, could you? The Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us here, looking after God's interest below, and our great high priest and our Advocate there in the presence of God looking after our interests above till we get home. But this Blessed One, the Living God Himself, has taken up His residence in our very being. What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have. For you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And it is in regeneration that God sings in us. And like the Israelites of old on the free side of the Red Sea, we too can sing because we are free. Like this one in Psalm 40, we too can sing because we are on a solid foundation. We are living stones upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And like the people of Hezekiah's day, when they had that great revival, and when the house of the Lord was repaired, the altar was repaired, and the burnt offering was offered to the Lord, and when that offering began, the song of the Lord began also, we too can sing because we are accepted. We are free. We are on a solid foundation, and we are accepted. And like that one who had been a leper and who is now brought into the fellowship, knowing that he has been pronounced clean by the authority of God Himself, and he sees the evidence of that living bird let loose with the marks of the dead bird upon him. We sing. We sing because we belong to Him. We know we are accepted because by faith, from the Word of God, we see that Blessed One there in the glory who has accomplished eternal redemption for us. He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He's there in the glory, accepted, and we are accepted in Him. And He still has the marks of Calvary upon Him. And it is in regeneration that God sings in us. But it is in demonstration that God sings by us. And I want to emphasize this tonight. It is in demonstration that God sings by us. We not only have a song to sing, we should be a song. Would you turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you. And excuse me for breaking in. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. God is saying that this mighty power that raised his son from the dead is the same mighty power that is available to us to live this resurrection life, to live this life of glory. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Come over, please, to chapter 3. And verse 17, Paul said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that Christ may settle down and be at home in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. Now turn back to chapter 2. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let's consider what we have read. Paul is writing about this great power of God that raised his son from the dead. And Paul speaks about this great power working in us to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But now, dear Christian friends, if we are going to know this power in our Christian lives, if there will be that demonstration in our living as God sings by us, then it means that we're going to have to be in the will of God. We cannot live just any way we want to and expect to know God's great power in our life. I think of a great locomotive, and I think of all the power that is represented there to pull a long train from one coast to the other. But you take that locomotive and that long train off the tracks and put them in a field, and all of that power will take that train nowhere. And we cannot be out of the will of God and expect to know God's power in our life. It is only as we are on track that we will know this power. And Paul says that we are God's workmanship. There are those people who are striving, and there are so many in the world who are striving to gain acceptance before God by their good works. Salvation is a free gift, not because it's cheap, but because it's paid for. And once we receive God's unspeakable gift, then we become God's workmanship. Now the good works come. And God wants to work in us. And God wants to sing by us in demonstration. And those of us who have made this personal identification with the risen Lord Jesus Christ can know, and we should know His resurrection power in our daily living. And it seems that there are so many Christians who are just muddling through their Christian life, rather than mastering through it. Would you turn, please, to Acts chapter 11? Acts chapter 11. Verse 21. Acts 11, verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. How does one see the grace of God? Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God? I believe the answer is this. In that little letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Or, a better rendering, I believe, "For the grace of God bringing salvation to all men hath appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." The grace of God that brings salvation to all men hath appeared. The grace of God has appeared. And this grace of God works in our life. And this grace, that is the Holy Spirit of God working in our life as our teacher, and it's all the grace of God, teaches us how we should live. And I believe when we read that Barnabas went as far as to Antioch and he saw the grace of God, conveys to us that these believers were manifesting the song of the Lord by their day-by-day living. The psalmist said, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and established my going, and hath put a new song in my mouth, and many shall see it." I think you would expect him to say, "Many shall hear it. Many shall see it." I believe that's the thought. Seeing the grace of God in action, and it is by demonstration that God sings by us. How does the little poem go? "I'd rather see a song any day than hear one." That's the thought. God singing by us so that others will see the song of the Lord. We don't have to muddle through life. We don't have to live a defeated life. We have one there at God's right hand who said to his disciples, and he says to us, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You're going to find tribulation in the world, but I've overcome the world. You be of good cheer. Would you notice, please, in Ephesians chapter 2 once again, Paul said, we're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. It's because of God's free gift to us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's only after this personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only after we have received him as our Lord and Savior that God begins to work in us. And we noted this from Philippians chapter 1 this morning. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's when it commences. When one receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and God sings in us. But there is continuance, as we see in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He continues to work. And in chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, or this body of humiliation, that he may fashion it like unto his glorious body, and that's consummation. But God works in us, and God works through us, God works by us, and it is in demonstration that God sings by us. We are his workmanship. And the word here is poema. It's the same word from which we get our word poem. We are God's poem. It has been said that creation represents God's work in prose, and redemption indicates his work in poetry. And the difference between prose and poetry is that of meter and rhythm. By the meter of grace and the rhythm of our yieldedness and cooperation, the poetry of our good works will provide God with a song that he will use to woo and to win others to himself. We're God's poet. And it is in demonstration that God sings by us. Turn to Revelation chapter 5, will you? We have referred to it. Now let us read from it. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Why are they singing? They are singing because the Blessed One in their midst is the worshipped Lamb. He's the worshipped Lamb because he's the wounded Lamb. And he's the worthy Lamb. And here we see all the redeemed gathered around this one who redeemed them by his precious blood. And they're all singing together. And it is in consummation that God sings with us. God sings with us. Now, I warned you about these scriptures. Would you turn, please, to Psalm 22? Psalm 22. Now, Psalm 22 is a night scene, or at least it starts that way. It's a night scene. It's a picture of suffering. You will note the little caption over the psalm, and we can learn much from that. To the chief musician, upon Eileth Shear, a psalm of David. To the chief musician, David is saying, in essence, in giving this little note to the chief musician, upon Eileth Shear, he's saying to the chief musician, now, as you take this psalm to set it to music, no doubt you're going to put it in the minor key because it's a scene of suffering. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, as you read that, you think about that bird being put to death in an earthen vessel over running water. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So David is saying, now, chief musician, you're going to put this in the minor key. But now don't leave it there. Because I want you to go upon the mountain, and the inscription here, the caption over this psalm, indicates that the chief musician will be upon the mountain at the breaking of dawn. Darkness comes just before the dawn. So it is a night scene. But now, just as the dawn comes and the streaks of the eastern sun break across those mountains like the horns of a deer, I want you to realize that though this song starts with a night scene, it doesn't stay there. The day comes. And you read down through the psalm, and it is one of suffering. And we have the darkness about to leave in verse 21. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. And now here we have daybreak. Here we have that living bird set loose in an open field in verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And I pointed out the other morning that the Lord Jesus Christ did not refer to his disciples as his brethren until after his resurrection. Go tell my brethren. Now look at verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now, would you please turn to Hebrews chapter 2 as our last verse, our last portion. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 9. Now, the writer is saying that we don't see all things put unto man as yet. God said he would have dominion over the earth. We don't see all of that as yet. But he says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, that is, for a little while, lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. He came down and took upon himself a body, an earthen vessel, that in that earthen vessel he might be put to death. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. We see him, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing. praise unto thee. And that's a quotation from Psalm 22. But here the word singing is used. Think of that living bird let loose with the marks of the dead bird upon it, and upward that bird goes, and I want to think that that bird was singing away. And I want to think of that man standing there looking at that bird, realizing that he was clean and accepted. He too was singing. And listen, dear fellow believer, we have a song to sing. We should be a song, but we have a song to sing because he is singing. And he sings with us. God sang to us in incarnation. In us. In regeneration. By us. In demonstration. Oh, but he'll be singing with us face to face in consummation. All the redeemed gathered home from every tribe and tongue and nation, and all singing together about him who redeemed us by his precious blood. We have many differences down here. We come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different stages of life, different social standings, educational standings, so many differences with us all over the world. But oh, when we're all gathered home, we will be singing with him the song we have in our hearts right now to sing. I remember a little touching story I read some time ago, and it happened back in my home state of Virginia. It happened on the Rappahannock River during the Civil War. Nighttime had come, the fighting had stopped. The Yankee soldiers were encamped on the northern side of the Rappahannock, and the Confederate soldiers on the southern side. And during those night hours, the northern fifer decided to strike up a song. And he started playing Yankee Doodle. And all the Yankee soldiers joined in singing Yankee Doodle. When the song faded away, the southern fifer struck up Dixie. And all the rebel soldiers started singing Dixie. That song too faded away, and there was silence for a while. Then one of them started playing Home Sweet Home. And both sides joined in and started singing together. Home Sweet Home. We have many differences down here, but oh, there's coming that day when we'll be gathered home. We'll be with him. We'll see him face to face. We'll be like him. This one who died for us. Who shed his precious blood, who cleansed us from all of our sins, and gave us a perfect standing before God. We'll be singing with him. Oh, what a grand and glorious day that will be. I'm glad I'm on my way, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Now, Father, once again, we do thank thee for this blessed one in the glory, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we think of that great power that raised him from the dead. And this same great power is to usward who believe. And this great power operating in us is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. O Father, may we be in tune with thee. May we realize thy presence day by day. May we realize we've been redeemed with an infinite price. We're not our own. We belong to thee. May the Lord Jesus Christ have the preeminence in all things. We pray in his blessed name. Amen.